There's more of us here.
Oh, sorry. How come I don't see everybody?
Slide your phone across.
Uh-huh. Oh, sorry. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. I'm on my phone right now. Okay. Kumlan Lablak Gemara. We are up to Daf Nun Amid Aleph, finishing Perek Ela Oivrin. And we had a bit of a gadata about appropriate Shaduchim. And the Gemara continues with a gadata. And the Gemara, therefore, says as follows. The last part of the Mishnah was if you carried out a piece of a carbon outside of Yerushalayim, that's called Yetzeh, it becomes pasul, and the question was whether you have to go back to Yerushalayim to burn it, or you burn it wherever you are, depends where you're, how far away you are from Yerushalayim. So now that we're talking about Yerushalayim, we're going to talk about also the borders of Yerushalayim, how when Mashiach will come, they will expand. It says in Pasuk, who will be on that day, lo yiyeh oid, there won't be any more light of Yikara. You will soon see what Yikaras means. The Kifayon. There won't be any more light of Yikaras and Kifayon. What does that mean? My Yikaras, the Kifayon. What do you mean in the future there won't be oir of Yikaras and Kifayon? We have a number of experiences. Ze oir, we're referring to oir. She Yokar Bailam has a oir, which is very precious today, which is in the middle of the day, noontime, when the sun is at its brightest. Yet, the Kof Olam Haba, when it will come in times of Olam Haba, it will be like dim. It won't really be that important, won't be that significant. Rashi says literally that Kof means something that floats above water because it's light. So this thing which is so heavy today, which is so so worthy today, will be pretty light when Mashiach will come. Rabbi Yochanan says it's only a metaphor. Elu negoyim va'olus, things which are heavy, which are difficult, sheyikoreneim aram hazeh, the subject of negoyim, leprosy, and the subject of tumah of olus. If you remember, many times Rabbi Kiva gave an opinion on a gadatah, they would tell him, klach eitzel negoyim va'olus, you're good at the tough stuff, leave the gadatah for us. So, negoyim va'olus, sheyikoreneim aram hazeh, they are difficult and heavy in this world, but kfuin hei lo'olam haba. But when Mashiach will come, they won't be as heavy, as difficult as it is today. Won't be as significant as it is today. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, Eilu b'nei Adam, we're talking about people. She Karen Heim Ba'olam Hazeh, people are so valuable today that people who are wealthy, people who are respecting the community, but the truth of the matter is they don't deserve it. But Kfu Yom Haba, Mashiach will come, and Olam Haba, we will know exactly their true value. Kihod is a story that we learned, and we'll have it again later in Babasa. Rabbi Yosef, Bereya de Rabbi Shurman Levi. Rabbi Yosef was the son of Rabbi Shurman Levi. Chalash was very sick, he snagged and he fainted. He went into a coma, and he was between the two worlds. Kihod, when they revived him, Amalei Avu, my chazes, what did you see? Amalei, I saw Olam Hafuchrisi. I saw an upside down, a topsy turvy world. El Yoinim Lamata. All those people that we respect over here. That, you know, they're rich and so on, over there, they have just disdain for them. The tachtonim lemaila, the people here that we think are simpletons or simple, over there, they're very, very considered. Amalei, he said to him, B'ni, olam baris, he saw the truth, the world of truth. V'anan hechi has, what about tamid hachamim, where do we stand in the world to come? So he said, ki heiche di isi anan hocha, hochi asin hosan, the way we are viewed here is how we are viewed lemaila. B'shemaiti, and I also heard Shemaiti, they would say, Asher Misha Bolakam, praiseworthy is the person that comes here, Vit Talmudei B'yodei, and his learning is in his hand. So that's one of the things they said there. Now, it says in the Farshim, it says Talmudei B'yodei in his hand. In other words, it's not good enough just to sit and learn Torah. You actually have to mekayim, fulfill everything that you are learning, which is how Rabbeinu Chananel learns. There's a chassidus pshat, Lekan, is Gematria Nun Lamed Chaf is 100, 50, 30, 20, 100, and Aleph is 101. And the Tanya explains what the Gemara Chagiga says, you cannot compare someone who learns 101 times to someone who revises it only 100 times. Because 100 times you do, because that's the norm. 101 means you're going beyond the norm. So Asher Misha Bo Lekan, praise me that somebody comes in with a Lekan with 101, but Talmudion, that's how much learning he did. Anyway, another thing I heard with Shemaiti, also heard Shem, they said, Harugi Malchus and Yerukh Lachmach Tosin, those who were killed by the Lakidosh Hashem, by the government, no one can stand in their portion in Olam Haba. Umani, who are, and here we're talking about Gan Eden now. Who are we talking about now? Ilema Rabbi Akiva Vechavera, what are we talking about? Rabbi Akiva and his friends, Mishurugi Malchus, the only credit I have is the fact that they were the martyrs, that we say in Kippur, there are Tamid Chachamim and Great Tzaddikim. El Harugi Lu, this is Pappas and Leonis, these two people who gave up their lives when the government, when the princess was killed, and the government accused the Yidden and threatened to kill all the Yidden, they came forward and they confessed, and they were killed, and they saved the rest of the community. So we're talking about them. And that day, it says in the passing, on that day, there will be al mitlas asuz, on that day it will be on the bells of the horse, or it will be kodesh l'Hashem. It will be holy to Hashem. What does that mean? Mizchai is talking about the future, Ram Sheikh will come. On that day, the mitzilis will be holy to Hashem. What does that mean? My mitzilis asuz, what do you mean? The bells of the horse. I'm not sure, Malevi, Osikas Barlai Zerushalayim, that the Eibishter is going to expand the boundaries of Yerushalayim, the borders of Yerushalayim, acha asuz rot ummatzil. In the morning, there's a shadow. The sun is on an angle. By the time it gets to noon, the sun is straight above you. There's no shadow. The distance that the horse can run from the morning when there's a shadow, from the word tzel, shadow, until noon when there's no shadow, that's how great Yerushalayim will become. Rabbi Lozer, says that, no, you know what it means? That kol metzilais, all those bells that we hang around the horse, bein eino between his eyes, ye kodesh l'Hashem. The Eden will give that, donate that to the Beis HaMikdash. People will give away all their treasures to the Beis HaMikdash to build the most beautiful third Beis HaMikdash. Yechon amar, kol biza, shebozen Yisrael, any plunder that the Eden will plunder, ad shosh asus rotzim matzel, till noon, all the plunder they'll do in the morning, ye kodesh l'Hashem, they're donating it to the Beis HaMikdash. The one who says that all the plunder that they will plunder, Heinrich Sivet says, and the pots, the base Hashem will be in the house of Hashem, like the golden, utensils before the mizbech. But you're talking about the plunder. You're stealing, you're taking from the wars that you have, everything that you plundered, you're giving it to Beis HaMikdash. The one who says, talking about the other two things, like the bells of the horse, is my vahoya has cedars Beis Hashem. What in the world does it have to do with the pots in the Beis Hashem, in the house of Hashem? These are bells. It's two different things. One thing is about the bells in the pasuk, and we said, that the bells you donate or the distance of Yerushalayim. But the other part of the pasuk is talking about the me'atri Yisrael, the Jews will become very wealthy. Umisnadvi, they will donate, umaisin, they will bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Two different parts. Second part, Bishlam Adam, Biz, the one that says plunder, Heinrich Siv, it says in the next pasuk, it says, V'loyiyah Kenani, oid bebeis Hashem Tzvokas, will no longer be a Kenani in the house of Hashem on that day. There won't no longer be a Kenani, that's because you'll have a war, you'll win, and everything else is all gone. However, in other words, you won't have to deal anymore with everybody else. Because it will have the basic, maybe we won't have to deal anymore, negotiate with the goyim, we'll have everything that they need in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says that the Beis HaMikdash, that they will no longer have to and handle and do business with the assets of the Beis HaMikdash, because there'll be so much wealth from the plunder. And there's a big argument if an institution, if a yeshiva, a shul, if they have extra money, are they allowed to invest in the share market for the benefit of the shul? Are they allowed to go into business? Or every cent that they have, they only must use towards the benefit of the shul? And, maybe invest in property one day you might use, but that's it. From Rashi, they want to prove, he says, you won't do business. Sounds like you are allowed to do business with money in shul and invest. Others say, no, he's talking about doing business means buying assets for the shul, not doing business, stamp business. Anyway, Lamandam Hanatati, the other two explanations about the shadow under the horse or the bells. My Veloye Kanani, what do you mean? There will no longer be a Kanani. Amr Abiyini, Abiyini says, Kanani is two words. Kan Oni, Ain Kan Oni. There will no longer be any poverty around. Says, the word Kanani doesn't mean just a nomad from a certain nation, rather it means a merchant. You said it's a merchant. How do you know that? Tichsiv, you know where the source of that is? It says, Vayashav Yehuda Bas Ish Kanani, that Yehuda saw that the daughter of Ish Kanani, when he married off to his sons, my Kanani, what do you mean Kanani? Elim, a Kanani mamish from the nation of Canaan. Efsha, is it possible? But Avram, Avram came along, Vihizir as Yitzchak, and born Yitzchak, don't you dare, told Eliezer, don't you dare find a bride for Yitzchak from Canaan. But Yitzchak, Vihizir, Yaakov came along, Yitzchak, and born Yaakov, don't you dare get a bride from Canaan, go to your mother's family. The Yehuda, Ozl, the Nasiv, and Yehuda will go ahead and flagrantly violate his ancestors request and marry a Kanani, or get his children to marry a Kanani. Ella, so what does it mean? Ella Rav Shimon Lakish Baskavro Tagra. Kanani means a merchant. The Chassid says, Kanan biyodo, a Kanan, a merchant. What does it have in his hand? Ma'ozne mirmo. He has false weights. So we see that Kanani basically means a merchant. The Rosh and others ask on Rashi and Chumash an interesting question, and they all remain with the question. Rashi says in Chumash, in the end of Vayechi, we just learned last week, a week and a half ago, that how come only the children of Yaakov there were escorting Yaakov's coffin, and none of the grandchildren? Says Rashi, because all the grandchildren were married, were children of Kananim, because all the Shvatim married women from Canaan. That's what Rashi says. Says the Rashi, he doesn't understand. The Gemara says here that Yehuda, no way in the world he would have married a woman from Canaan against the defiance of the wishes of his ancestors. And yet you're telling me, Rashi, that all the brothers married women from Canaan. Impossible. Yeah, so interesting question. Unless it was their second wives, and the first wife was not from Canaan, and the second wife from Canaan, and Yehuda, this was the first wife he was marrying, and therefore we said that can't be. Ella, says the Gemara... You bet you about Hachem here. It says in the pasuk. It says there's another pasuk. How do you know that Canaan is means a merchant? It says Asher Soichareh Sarim, that the Soichrim, the merchants, were officers Canaanah, that their merchants nichbade others, were they respected in the land. Says the Gemara. So that's okay. Now we're going to talk about in the future. Rahoya Hashem leMelech HaKol. In the future, they shall be king of the whole world, and Hashem will be one. His name will be one. What do you mean then? And Otuwid and Lava Echadu. And Abish is not one right now. The world today is not like the world in the future. Olam has in this world al besudas tovus omer baruch atov ameitiv. If you have good news, you say baruch atov ameitiv. If it's you and somebody else who benefits, tov ameitiv. If it's only you, shechianu. The besudas rois and on bad news omer baruch dainemis. And olam haba. In the world to come, kula hatov ameitiv. We'll realize then, as it says in Tanya, that mi'iti le'teitziros, nothing comes out bad from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem is good, but something comes from such a high level of Hashem that we cannot fathom it, and to us down in this world, it looks bad. But really, everything Hashem does is for good, and it is good, just we don't have the capacity to understand. So Mashiach will come, everything will be, our eyes will open, and we'll see that whatever Hashem does for us, like the Alter Rebbe, Leibowitz Chabad once had a discussion, Leibowitz Chabad said, if I was Hashem, I would do everything differently. I'll make the poor rich, I'll make the sick healthy, I'll make the silly smart, and so on. And the Alter Rebbe says, if I would be Hashem, I would do exactly what he's doing right now, because I'm sure he knows what he's doing. Okay, Ushmo Yechod, his name is one. My Echod, what do you mean his name is one? Otno Yidin La Shmo Yechod, Hashem's name today is not one. No, Loika Olam Haz Olam Haba, the world to come is different than the world today. How is that? Olam Haz Nichtev B'Yud K, the way Hashem's name is written, Yud K, Vav K, we don't pronounce it. The Goyim pronounce it, but we don't. But the Nikra B'Al Dal, the way we pronounce Hashem's name is Al Dalad. We can't say it, but Al Dalad, what we say? Aval Olam Haba Kuli Echad, we'll say Hashem's name the way it is Nikra B'Yud K, the Nichtev B'Yud K. We will read and read and write the same way. So Rav Mishnah Pirkei Rebbe thought that he would go ahead and dash in this in yeshiva. He wanted to spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei and to explain what each letter is. Amlehu Savala Olam Ksiv. It says, we just read in this week's parsha when Moshe Rabbeinu said, what is it? So it says in the pasuk, Ze Shmi L'Olam, but the Olam is missing a Vav, as if it says L'Olam, to be hidden. But Ze Zich, this is my memory forevermore. So it says, clearly L'Olam, it should be hidden. My name is for hidden. My memory forevermore. It's a contradiction. It should be hidden or should be remembered. Not the way I'm written is the way you read my name. I'm written Yud Kei. But how do you read it? The Aleph Dalet. Hadin Alach Elu Oyrim. The next parak actually has it starts out with Psachim, but it goes into many other things, and it's very important parak in Alach regarding the power of Menhagim. And if you have to, are you bound by the menhagim of a community when you join a community? Are you bound by the menhagim that your parents put into place? Can you be matan neder and so on? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah. Now, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, the Rishalmi says, Mahatoyda, you're not allowed to work because when you bring a carbon, it's your day of festival. And Erev Pesach, everyone brings a carbon. The carbon tummy that's brought every morning, even though every Jew is part of it, it's not called a festival because otherwise then when will we work? So, we're talking about Erev Pesach after Chatzos. What about before Chatzos? why? So can you work Erev Pesach in the morning or not? So, now Rashi, okay, Mokash Nogel last log of Zor Machat says Oisin. If the meaning is to work, then you can. Mokash Nogel last in Oisin. If you don't, you don't. But after Chatzay, the mission doesn't talk about, because that you're not allowed to. Tosis brings you to Shami that is forbidden from the Torah. Rashi says, we don't want you to work because we want you to prepare for Pesach. So some understand Rashi is talking about the afternoon, that even that is only Midrabanan. And some understand Rashi is talking about the morning. And even according to Tosis, today, even though there's no carbon, since once the Chachamim make a decree, it doesn't come apart, doesn't unravel, unless there are a bezin greater in number and in knowledge who can overturn it, which doesn't exist. Or the meaning of Sayyidina Bidenu, we continue the same way, and so on. Ahoylich, what happens? You live in a city where the minig is to be lenient. They work Erev Pesach in the morning. Memakom sha'oisin, lemakom she'enos, the place where you don't work in the morning. Or faket. In other words, the place you join now is more machmeh. They don't work. Or the other way around. Memakom she'enos, you came from a place where they were machmeh. They didn't work Erev Pesach in the morning. But lemakom sha'oisin, the place you do work. What do? Noisin olav chumrim makom sheyatzim misham vechumrim makom shalosham. We give him all the chumris, as the Gemara will explain. Rav Ashi says we're talking about you intended to go back home eventually. If you had no intention of going back home and you plan this is the final home, then you have to follow whatever they do. We're talking about you plan to go back home. So what do? So whatever the chumri is, that's what you do. And then the Mishnah says, "V'al yishana odem elchleket," but do not change because you might cause an argument. It's machlek zabayi v'rabba exactly on which case of the Mishnah we're referring to when we say we do not change. Okay, so are you trying to say that if the custom is to be machmir, if the custom is to be mekel, and you're going to be machmir, you're going to cause a machlekes, then you should be lenient as well? What are we trying to say here? But when it comes to work, even if the minig is to be lenient and to work, you're allowed to not. There's no problem for you not to work and be machmir because nobody's going to think that you're being machmir. They'll think maybe you're lazy, or maybe you don't have a job. Says the Gemara. Mishnah continues. Hamelech, same idea. Hamelech paid a shvius. If you're transporting, remember, when it comes to shvius, when do you have to get rid of all the fruits for feeding your animals inside your house? When the out in the field there's nothing growing anymore, so there's nothing left for the wild animals to eat, then you also have to stop feeding the animals inside the house. That's called zman bir. You have to make it hefke, you take it outside. Whether a person can still keep food for himself or not is a machlek is rishayim. But hamelech paid a shvius. Now, every city is a different time. Some places, and the season ends earlier, some later. So, if you take transporting fruits of Shemitah, memokim shekoli, from a place that ends earlier, lemokim shelekol, to a place that does not end earlier, or memokim shelekol, from a place that does not end earlier, memokim the kolli, finish, chai levar, you have to take the chumras and always destroy. If you come from a place that's destroyed earlier, even though right now you're residing in a place that doesn't, and since you plan to go home, you have to burn it, and vice versa. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, say v'havil chavav, tell the people who are complaining, go bring yourself from that city. What exactly are you saying? We're going to see in the Gemara later. Say the Gemara. Ma'ir Yareb Sochim, why talk to me about Erev Pesach? It says, till Chatzais in the morning, you shouldn't work, which sounds like, but after Chatzais, for sure you're not allowed to work. In the morning, it depends on the minik. L'chay, every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, you shouldn't work in the afternoon. So why Ir Yareb Sochim? Why do we have to have this inference regarding Erev Pesach that after Chatzais, you're not allowed to work? I feel like Shabbos, Yom Tov, Nami, Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov, you shouldn't work. It's not really learned. Ha'ozim, Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov, Nami, Nami, if you work Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov from Minchan upwards, and you'll not see any benefit from your work. Says the Gemara, Hosam min haMincha hu lemail hu daasa. There is forbidden from Mincha and onwards. Samuch Mincha loy, but close to Mincha there is no issue. Hocham mechatzayis, here's from midday. There's a mach. We're talking about Rashi says there's a machlek, but Rashi says Mincha means Mincha Ktana. It's 9.5 hours in the day, 2.5 hours before Shabbos, 2.5 hours before Shabbos, you must stop working, but half an hour before that, not. But it comes to Erev Pesach, it's from noon and onwards. And others want to say even Erev Shabbos also 12:30 and onwards, but Erev Pesach it's 12. Another answer is, Inami Hosam Sima Brochud Lechazi. Erev Shabbos Yanta, if you don't see any benefit from your work, if you work Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. Abo Shamuti Levi Shamtinlei. But nobody excommunicates you. Hoch over here, Shamuti Nami Mishamtinlei. Here, Erev Pesach, it's much more strict and will put you in Cherem, it's forbidden. But big machlekes and halacha, so which answer is the right one? According to the second answer, the Taz learns there's no avera to work out of Shabbos in the afternoon. It's just you don't see a benefit from it. According to other poskim, no, it's also an avera. Just you don't get cherim, but it's still an avera to work erev Shabbos in the afternoon. Shulchan Aruch says an interesting thing based on the Mordechai that you're not allowed to work erev Shabbos in the afternoon mincha ketana, 9.5 hours in the day. But if it's a business, you're allowed to work. But even if it's a business, you should stop 1 hour before Shabbos. But you go to many parts of the world, and you're at Israel, even in America, in New York, in Borough Park, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, even in the summer, everything is shut down. So Gufa, let's analyze it. If you work Erev Shabbos from Minchan onwards, Uva Mitzayi Shabbos, Uva Mitzayi Yom Tov, working Mitzayi Shabbos, Mitzayi Yom Tov. Uva Mitzayi Yom Kippur, Mubachom Mokim Shiyam Shem, whatever there's a possibility, in Aveda, Lasuya Taina Tzibur, if there's a drought and they decided everyone should fast, Eino Reisib Rechalong, you see no benefit from your work. When it says Mitzvah Shabbos, most people hold like Tosfos says over here, we're talking about before Havdalah, Shabbos is over, you didn't make Havdalah yet, you shouldn't go work. It says in the Yerushalmi, he brings the Yerushalmi, that women didn't work Mitzvah Shabbos until after Maidiv, until after Havdalah, Baruch Hamad and Kodesh L'chol. Others say that generally Mitzvah Shabbos, you shouldn't do any work until Chatzais. But the Tosfos and the Halach is, we're talking about before Havdalah. Second my first learned, Yesh Zoris, that those people who work diligently, even Nisker, and they'll benefit. Yesh Zori, that people work hard, Venifs, and they lose. Yesh Shuffle, that people who are lazy, even Nisker, they'll benefit. The Yesh Shuffle, even though they don't deserve any benefit, but because they didn't do the wrong thing, even though out of laziness, they'll benefit. The Yesh Shuffle, Venifs, are those who are lazy and they will lose. Zoris, Venifs, the Ovid Kulishbat, the entire week he works, he works Sunday through Thursday, doesn't work on Friday. That's a good guy. Zoris when he works hard and he loses out. The Ovid Kulish works a whole week. The Ovid bin Malshabat, he works on Friday afternoon as well. Then he loses out. Shuffle this guy, lazy person, but gains the Ovid Kulish. Doesn't work a whole week. He's lazy. But the Ovid Malshabat, no, doesn't work on Friday. He gets schar, at least for not working on Friday. Shuffle this is lazy, but he does lose out. The Ovid Kulish, the entire week he doesn't work. But the Ovid bin Malshabat, he only works on Fridays. These women, even though they don't work on Friday. Mishum fankusuhum. The reason is because they're so precious. Can't work at a Shabbos, you gotta rest. The Hakol Yom Inam Lekovdin, and the truth of the matter is they never work. They don't do that at Shabbos. They don't work because they just feel too precious. How can I have a job? Women, they don't want to work. Afil Hochi, Shafel Veniska Karino. They still get benefits. Interesting, the Rav is saying that women should work. And if those women don't work and they feel too precious, how can I work? Nevertheless, if they don't work on Friday, you get some benefit. Rava Rami, and we'll come back to women working in a minute. Rava asks a question. Ksiv, it says, Ki godl ad shemayim chazdecha. Your greatness is good till heaven. Or Ksiv, another passage says that your greatness, your charity, your magnanimity is ki godl me'al shemayim chazdecha, even above the heaven. Okay, so which one is it? Till the heaven or above the heaven? Kan, but Yisrach Mavidu, for the Ebershah's sake, then it's even you're connecting to a level of Hashem, which is higher than heaven. But kan, but Yisrach Mavidu, if you're not doing it till Hashem Shemayim, you're still doing a mitzvah. It's only till the heaven. Le'elam yasek odom b'teir mitzvah. A person should always study teir and do mitzvahs. Af al pi shaloi lishma, even though he's not doing it for the right reasons. Shematoch shaloi lishma bo lishma. But if you don't, even though you didn't do it for Hashem's sake, you didn't because let's say you enjoy it. Nevertheless, it's a good thing because eventually you do lishma. And teir brings, however, if you're doing it to brag, so you want people to give you covet, that's a different story. And we say better you don't learn at all. Turn about you learned. If somebody says he relies that his wife will bring all the income into the house, and rechayim, and he wants it to work on a mill, and what's wrong if he works on a mill, and he wants to sell a mill or something else, then the thing is ein reya sima brachol olam. He will not see any benefit at all. Why not? Why won't he see benefit if he wants his wife to bring revenue to the house? Or why won't he see benefit from a mill? So the Gemara explains. Sacharish, we're talking about a wife working mitakulta. We're talking about nothing wrong with a wife working. In fact, if you know in Poland in those days, you know, just before the war, in many instances, the wife is the one who ran the store, and the husband sat in shul and learned all day. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about over here is that the kind of job she has is she has to sell scales and go from house to house, like selling hoovers, going from house to house, and you know, things can go awry when you're going to other people's houses. And also, she hardly gets paid, only a few kupkas, and you're humiliating your wife for such a small benefit. And it's not right to have such a small benefit. Tosa says the reason is mitkolta doesn't mean scales. It means she has to knit. You invite her to your house to knit and sew and make clothing, and things and fabric is sold by the scale. And the idea is that when she has to come into your house, she has to roll up her sleeves to be able to sew, and she's not sneezing, and things can happen. So you're putting your wife in a precarious situation. And the chaya, the problem with having a panosa out of selling mills is agrita. You hardly make a penny. You work very, very hard, and you hardly make any money, and therefore you're always tense, and things are no good. But if you I will avda umezavna, but if she just works, or you want to sell these things, then it's like any other business. Ishtabuach mishtabachba. On the contrary, it's a good thing if your wife runs a business. It's a very good thing. And in fact, we even praise her for that. And we say it every Friday night. Every Friday night we say it. Where do we say it every Friday night? Because the Kriya D'Chiv, it says, Sodin Asa, she makes coats, Vatimka, and she sells it. And that's Eishes Chayil, V'yimtza. And we're saying over here is that she makes coats and she sells it and so on and so forth. Talk about Milert. I'm talking about different businesses. Hamastake bekanim. If somebody's business is selling kanim, normally is translated as reeds. Rashi's over here means thin sticks to sell as partitions, and so on. Or bekanim and jugs. Ain't no reyesim brocha loydim. The Gemara here says a fascinating thing. Why won't you see him brocha? He's in business. He's selling. My time of why is that? Kivon the nafish apichzayu. They take up a lot of space. Sholto be'ino. You'll get an ayin hara. But anything which attracts attention, people see that you're successful in business, people have an ayin hara, why should he be so successful, and so on, and that can cause you a loss. And things would take a lot of space. If you work in a Jewish neighborhood, you can only have trouble. So what have we learned? Tagre simta, those who sell in public and main street, and people can see your success, and they give an ayin hara. Or megadli behem medaka, you're raising these animal sheep, and they wander about in other people's fields, and everybody's shouting at you, get out of here. Or koitz, it's a yelonis tevis, you're chopping down good trees. You're not talking about fruit-bearing trees, that's baltashkas. You're just chopping down nice trees that people get upset. The environmentalists and all that, they get upset. Why are you destroying the beauty, the ambiance of the neighborhood, and they give you an ayin hara? Is the nation a neyem b'chelik yofa? They give an ayin hara why this person is such a bad person. And they see also, and another person, the nation also a person who, whenever he has to divide something or a kiddush or whatever it is, he always makes sure he gets the best part or the largest portion. This person who either advertises his success or he causes people to raise their ire against him, then he will not see benefit from his handiwork. My time at the Tobi and people are wondering about you and giving you an ayin hara, and the Abishah then listens to them. Talmud learned, Dala Prutas, there are four kinds of coins at Ein Behem Sima Brocha La'olam, that you will never see any benefit from these kinds of payments. And what is that? Schar Koisrin, the people who write, Seifrim, they will not see benefit. We'll soon see why. Schar Meturgamin, those people who are a Meturgamin, those people who stand before the memory learned. Every Chacham had a Turgamin, used to get up there and shout loud. And now, what's the reason? Rashi says, very interesting. The reason is because you, according to Rashi, you only work on Shabbos, and you're getting paid for Shabbos work. And the problem is that these part-time rabbis that get paid for working on Shabbos is a big problem as well, based on what the Gemara says here. But it could be the part-time rabbi has to prepare his drushes and everything else before Shabbos, so he's getting paid for the work he does during the week, or he gives shiurim and he gets paid for that. So then Shabbos is char havlo. Here Rashi says clearly that he stands before the Chacham only on Shabbos. Doesn't say during the week and Shabbos. Only on Shabbos. And therefore doesn't get any money. V'schar yisayimim, the money he gets paid for working in yisayimim, he gets, let's say, half the profits. Basically, he's robbing them. U'moyis ha'boim din z'yam. And we'll explain each one in a minute. And if you're dealing mainly with overseas and your merchandise is coming by sea, the reason why we don't like people who are meturgimin, they don't get any benefit from their wages. It looks like you're getting paid for Shabbos because you are. And the main work is Shabbos. And why the money? Because if you ever take more than you deserve, yisayimin can be meichel your ganef. Moi is a boy in the amphi business is importing all the time. Mishim the lav kol yemisach anisha. So many pirates on the ship, or the storms. The ship can capsize. And you need miracles every time the ship comes in intact. El is chakoyis in my time. But a sefer who writes mezuzahs and tefillin, why shouldn't he be successful? It's a fascinating piece of Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Chav Dalet Tainias. There were 24 fasts. Yashvu Anse Knesset Agdoila. The Anse Knesset Agdoila sat and fasted 24 days. That, and what they prayed, Al Koisveis Forum, that's Seifrim, who writes Forum, Tfilin, Sifra Torah, Tfilin Mezuzas, Shalayis Ashu. They should never become rich, so they should always have to work in order to keep themselves, the heads above water. This way we'll have more mezuzas and more tefillin, more sefer Torah. If they do very well out of mezuzah and tefillin, how many mezuzas will they write? How many tefillin will they write? Now, interesting, we had Rashi before, where Rashi on Daf Membeis on Membeis added, when we talked about, you know, the women, the rich girls who you would use this this flour to remove their hair, they would give it to the girls of the poor. And could they normally use it only plaster and give it to them to use? And that's Chamas Nuksha. Says Rashi before, he quotes his Gemara, but he adds, Melamde Tanoikis. He says, B'nai Seifrim, Melamde Tanoikis. Sounds like Rashi translates when the Gemara says over here, Koisis or whatever, that he holds that he also includes in this teachers. If teachers were made did very well, they wouldn't teach too often. We want them to be hungry, so they should want to teach more and more, and students should benefit from them. Anyway, not only them, but v'tagrehen, a Judaica store, v'tagre tagrehen, and an importer, a wholesaler, a retailer, kol oiskim melech shemayin, anybody who trades in melech shemayin, lasuim moichet chelo, to sell the chelo, the blue wool for tzitzis, einu reisei bracha leinu, they should never see a sim of bracha from their work. But if they do it not for the parnasa, they do it because they really want to teach kids and kids to learn, they do it so people have mezuzah and tefillin, then is they will be successful. Says the Gemara, B'nai Baishan, the people of Baishan, no, got accustomed to have Uzlim Mitzor Latidin. From Tzor to Tidin took only a few hours traveling, and their market days was only on Friday. And we said before, we don't want you working Friday. And they were machmer, they wouldn't travel on Friday. They didn't want, even though there was only day of the week, market day, they wouldn't travel on Friday. The Maile Shabbat on Friday. Osu Benayu Kamari, they died. Their children came to be Yechon, Omla Avos, and our father, Efshel, they were very wealthy. They didn't have to go to the market. Anan Lefshel, we have no choice. Can we go to the market on Fridays or not? Omli told them, Kwa Kiblu Avasechon, your answers already accepted. Shenemrit says, Shma b'ni Musar Avicha v'alti toish terasimecha. He says, Shma b'ni, listen, my son. Musar Avicha, the tradition of your father, v'alti toish, do not change the Torah of your mother. In other words, you're bound by your father's minig. This caused a big machlekes in Poskim. There's a prichadosh, tafsam ches, has arichas, and everything else. Machlekes is, if you ever took on a minig, you do something three times, you go to a rav, three people, and you're mataneder. If you are bound by a minig because your parents took on a minig, are you bound by this minig or not? Do you have to continue davening this minig or not? So someone is bringing a proof from me. Yes, you are. Because why didn't the children just go ahead and be mataneder? He told them that, no, you're not allowed to travel on Friday. Why wouldn't they just mataneder? And that's it. It sounds like they had no choice. They couldn't be mataneder. Now they were stuck. However, others say no proof from me whatsoever. And the reason why it's not a proof is they didn't ask him, can we be mataneder? They just said, today, are we allowed? Do we have to, are we bound by it or not? Because they didn't need the money. We do need the money. Maybe because the circumstances change, that's enough. And he said, no, you're bound by it. But if they would have asked him, let's be mataneder, then maybe they would have. So anyway, so generally we say that we if not for the fact that they had this meaning, you're allowed to go as long as we said before, you stop at Mincha Ktana or for business an hour before. And Shkolar is a bit more lenient today because we have people who prepare Shabbos for us anyway. It's not the same as it used to be in those days then. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.